I want to talk to you a bit this morning about my father, not my birth father, my dad, who's in heaven and whom I love. And I am so thankful that he came to know Jesus after a mostly troubled life. But I'd like to talk about my spiritual father. And here I'm not referring to Mark Haynes, who was the guy who led me to Jesus after he got out of Satan worship and witchcraft, because I really only saw Mark a couple of more times after that. I went off to college in Chicago, and he moved away around that time. I never really saw him again. I'm referring to the man who took it upon himself to build into my life the things of the faith. There were really two or three of these type of men in my life as a young believer, all from that little Bible-believing Methodist church back in Parkersburg, West Virginia, who took me under their wings soon after I got saved. But there was one man in particular who deeply impacted my life, Einar Basinger. I've talked about Einar in the past a couple of times, not shared a lot of detail, but I'd like to go a bit more in-depth this morning about how he affected my life. Einar and Emily were older by the time I met them. They were graduates of Wheaton in the early 1940s, so they attended late 1930s, early 1940s. They were good friends of Billy and Ruth Graham while they were dating in college at Wheaton, and Einar also sang in a quartet with Cliff Barrows, who went on, of course, to be the choir director for all the Billy Graham crusades. I have no doubt that Einar could have joined his buddies, Billy and Cliff, and been a part of that great evangelistic ministry that later became the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He was a very talented man, had a great heart for God, and a deep commitment to God's Word. But instead, Einar and Emily felt led to launch out as traveling itinerant evangelists on their own. He loved church work, but he never felt called to be a pastor of a local congregation. And so he developed a ministry of traveling around to various churches holding evangelistic meetings and revival meetings. He'd preach at a particular church for a week, and then he'd move on to another town and preach in another church that was on his schedule, and he'd schedule this out for months at a time as best he could. And he and his wife both had beautiful singing voices. They were a great duet. And so they'd lead in singing, and then Einar would preach. They mostly ministered to churches in the Midwest, but also did some traveling nationally, as well as Canada, the Caribbean, and in various parts and countries of Latin America. Again, not big crusades, just one church at a time. And they lived very modestly. They never made a whole lot of money, and they poured what they had back into their ministry, or they gave a lot of it away to support God's work and to support missions. This is a picture of their home in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Very modest, getting a lot more echo all of a sudden. Very modest, two bedrooms, one bath, 768 square feet. So if you've ever been to Mamie's house when she lived on William Brewster, this house is 200 square feet smaller than that house. If you get on Zillow or Trulia and look up the house value, Mamie's house sold for $125,000. They did a lot of upgrades to the house. The current market, and of course location has something to do with that. Irving's sort of always kept their property value, but little old Parkersburg, West Virginia, that house has a market value of $52,000. And it was in that house where I met with them many, many times. They'd have me over for lunch or dinner. I'd ride my bike over there. I lived on the opposite side of town, but I would ride over there, and they would open the Word with me. They'd pray with me. They taught me how to walk with Jesus. They taught me about worship, about evangelism. They modeled for me what a Christ-centered marriage looked like. Emily showed me the beauty and dignity of a Christian woman. Einar showed me the strength and character of a Christian man, and it helped shape me into who I am today. The Basingers didn't have any kids, and so they went out and they found one. They adopted a scrawny, shy, unkempt teenager and poured into his life, me. What Einar and Emily did was pass along the faith. They left a legacy in my life. They believe that it is not enough to just keep the faith. You need to pass along the faith. The gospel is too good to keep to yourself. And since they didn't have any children of their own to do that with, they sought to pass on a godly heritage to me. Call it mentoring, call it discipleship, call it parenting by proxy. That's what they did, and I will be forever grateful. Today is Father's Day. Today we celebrate fathers. We thank God for this important biblical role. God doesn't call all men to be married. He calls some to a life of singleness, and there is unique blessing in that path. God calls some men to be married but not to have children. That isn't his design for them, but his plan for them is to be a godly man who loves his wife well and who establishes a Christ-centered marriage and home. But he calls many men to marry and to have kids, either by blood lineage or by adoption. And if God gives a man the responsibility of raising children, he is to do so according to God's word. It's a great blessing and a great challenge. And God has given us guidance and wisdom and instruction in his word. And those who follow that instruction will be rewarded for their obedience and their faithfulness. This Father's Day, I guess I want to expand my message beyond just the role of fatherhood and speak to men in general. What I feel led to say this morning certainly applies to fathers, but it also relates to any man who wants to be used by God in this world. And so I pray that there's something that every man here today can take to heart and ponder and seek God about. Our scripture this morning, as Paul read for us, is 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul is writing to Timothy near the end of Paul's life. Timothy is his spiritual son, and he built into Timothy's life for years, ever since he was a young man. And now, Paul, nearing the end of his life, he writes this: "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That verse is the classic verse on discipleship for spiritual multiplication, where you build into the life of two or three more other people, and then you also train them to pass that on, that spiritual knowledge and spiritual walk with Christ and how to get into the Word, how to pray. You pass it, they can pass it on to somebody else, and it just multiplies that way. And so if you are training up two or three young men at a time and you train them to pass that on, then they're going to get two or three guys of their own to build into, and that's all of a sudden 10 or 12. And if they do that another generation, that's 48 or 50. So it multiplies like that. You couldn't possibly influence that anywhere near that number of people if you did it simply one person at a time. But God invented this beautiful principle of spiritual multiplication, and that's what that is, right from 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. So that's what we do. We want to teach others to pass on the faith. We want not only to have the faith, we not only want to pass on the faith to our kids, we want to help them learn how to pass on their faith to others as well. So this verse also challenges us as fathers to do that. If you think about this in the context of a father with his son or his daughter, what better thing to pass on to your kids than that? And to equip them to pass it on to yet other people, to their friends, to their own children someday. Now, I don't want to have the things that I share this morning guilt you in any way. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I do hope to inspire you. My concern is not with what we have done or haven't done, but with what we can do and what we will do with God's help. None of us is the man we strive to be, and none of us is the father we strive to be. I'm too flawed, too imperfect, too fallen to be the man that I know that God calls me to be. I'm not that man. I certainly can look back over the course of my life as a father and find a multitude of failures that I've had. And yet, grace abounds. And God works through our weaknesses, through our failures, and still uses us to greatly impact the lives of our children. Imperfect vessels, every one of us. And that's why we lean all the more on Jesus. So I want to begin with the topic of passing on the faith. That's what Einar Basinger did with me. He didn't plant the faith in me. Somebody else did that. But he helped it grow. He watered it and helped it grow. And men are called of God to do that with their children. Or if you don't have children or your children are grown, find a kid and build into him. So when Kristen and Sarah were growing up in our home, we talked a lot about spiritual things. We prayed regularly and tried to show them that talking with Jesus was just a normal part of everyday conversation. But you know what Kristen and Sarah don't have? You know all those beautiful images we have in our little son or daughter crawling up in our lap as we're reading God's Word, and they're just sitting there curiously watching their dad read the Scriptures. And maybe they'd ask a question or two, and you'd take the time to explain it to them in simple childlike terms. Nope, my kids have no memory of that. I made my Bible reading too private. It was me and God time. And if I could have a do-over in my parenting, that would be it. I read God's Word on my own. My kids knew that I loved God's Word. They both love His Word and read His Word regularly. But I really wish they had seen me read it more. To wake up in the morning, come into the den, and see me there in my easy chair or at the kitchen table with my Bible open before me. That was very rare for them. And that was a mistake. I would do that differently. Now, of course, having nice memories of your child sitting on your lap as you open the Bible is nice, but there are lots of ways to pass on the faith. My point is, we all have regrets. None of us does this parenting thing perfectly. But we can choose to make some changes. We can choose to do things differently. We can choose to be more intentional about passing on the faith. See, it isn't just taking them to Sunday school. It isn't just getting them involved in Awana. It isn't something that you can leave to somebody else. God placed you in their life to be their spiritual mentor and guide. That is the most important task God has entrusted to you. Now, there's no exact formula here. It isn't a matter of, you know, five quiet times together a week and three times in prayer a day, or, you know, church twice a week, and maybe, you know, maybe an act of compassion and kindness to somebody less fortunate thrown in once in a while, and maybe even evangelistic opportunity together every so often, and you're good to go. It's not that. It's mostly a matter of the heart. You loving Jesus with your whole heart, and then finding specific ways to expose your children to that spiritual passion. A heart for God is far more caught than taught. And yet it doesn't happen just by happenstance. It does involve taking some deliberate steps to have them join you in your spiritual journey and to have them experience your spiritual walk so that they begin building a walk with Christ for themselves. So dads, you can do this. You really can. Do you know that I occasionally felt inadequate in this area? And I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have this down, right? But that's true. I did. You want to know why? Why we feel inadequate with this? The first reason is we know our failures. We know our sinfulness. And it feels just a bit phony to try to tell somebody else about how to walk with Jesus when we find ourselves tripping and stumbling along the way. Somehow we assume that we have to master this stuff before we're qualified to pass it on to somebody else. Not true. The fact is, you'll never master it, and if you wait until you do, you'll never impact somebody else's life. Don't hide behind your insecurities and your imperfections as an excuse for not doing the most important work you can do as a father, passing on the faith to your kids. The second reason that we feel inadequate is, now wait for it, wait. Oh yeah, you're inadequate. You can't successfully pass on the faith on your own. You can't do it. You need God's help. You need the Spirit to equip you and enable you to do this task. But God is more than able to make you able. It's what He does. Because God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or think. With God, all things are possible. The Apostle Paul said that when we are weak, then we are strong. Strong in the Lord. In our weakness, He gives us strength. And so we step forward by faith in this glorious task, leaning fully on Jesus, because we are weak and He is strong. There's a lot more we could say about this topic of passing on the faith, but I want to move on and say a few other things. But let me just say that there are some outstanding books on this topic that give great guidance to fathers that can help in learning how to pass on the faith to your kids. I'd be glad to recommend them to you. But there's a second topic I want to discuss for us today, for fathers, for men, and that is passing on biblical manhood. Yes, guide your children into healthy, loving, thriving relationships with Christ, but also teach them what it is to be a man. If you have a son, teach him and show him what a biblical man is so that he will want to grow up to be one. If you have a daughter, teach her and show her what a biblical man is so that she will want to perhaps marry one someday. I did a three-part series on the Christian man some 12 or 13 years ago. I'm not going to cover anywhere near all that stuff this morning, but there are some things that I believe are key to being a biblical man and passing that on to your kids. If I had a single word to describe it, it would be the word passion. Passion. This may be a hard word for us men because we're much better and focused on doing than we are at feeling. But passion really is one of those kinds of emotions that inevitably leads to action. If you're passionate about something, it's going to move you to take action. So first of all, obviously, you want to have spiritual passion. I mean, yes, be in the Word, yes, spend time in prayer, yes, be involved in the other spiritual disciplines and that God tells us to do, but you need to have, and your kids need to see you have, actual passion for God, as Jason was talking about earlier, a heart for God. It's greatest commandment number one here, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Wouldn't you like to have your kids see that in your life? Well, God is able. When we are weak, God is strong. But there are other passions our kids need to see in you, like passion for your wife. Obviously, there's discretion needed here. But the truth is, it makes a child's heart glad to see their mom and their dad holding hands, hugging, giving each other a kiss once in a while. They feel a sense of security in the affection that you show each other. Besides, I believe that it is both your right and your responsibility to embarrass your kids from time to time. So just part of how I'm wired. So love your kids well. Affection, care, listening, respecting, valuing her. All that shows your children what a biblical man is like. He is to love her as Christ loved the church. And that's a pretty tall order. But once again, God is able. Another passion a biblical man will have is a passion for his kids. I don't believe that I have words to describe the significance and the power of a father's love. Your strong love for your children is absolutely huge in shaping their sense of worth, their self-confidence, their ability to believe in themselves. It's a safety net for trembling hearts in a scary world. Things may go way wrong out there, but my daddy loves me. That's a really good place to be for a child. One more, passion for others. Passion for God's people and passion for the lost. Your attitude toward fellow believers and your attitude toward people who don't know Christ is pivotal in shaping the attitudes toward others that your kids will have as they grow up. Again, it's more caught than taught. But you can help them learn the value of connecting with a community of believers, the value of accountability, the value of fellowship, the value of joining together to worship God and to grow together in the faith. As you live that out, they learn as they catch your passion. And you can help them learn to have genuine passion for those who are lost without Christ. Your heart for the unsaved world is such an important thing to pass on to your kids. And it can't just be words. It can't just be talk. They need to witness your passion for unsaved people as they see how you engage with the person at the bank or at the grocery store or the neighbor across the street or other dads in Little League or in the Boy Scouts. How you shine the light will be a very teachable thing for them in the deepening of their faith and their passion for reaching out to others. And again, when we feel inadequate in this, which is most of the time, God is able. When we are weak, God is strong. Passing on the faith, passing on biblical manhood. One final point, passing on the marks of a leader. Now, we need to be clear about something. As a dad, you may not necessarily have the opportunity to be their soccer coach. You may not ever be their Sunday school teacher or their Awana leader. You may never find yourself in a situation where you are up front actually leading your kids in something. That's perfectly okay. If you get those opportunities, make the most of them. Enjoy them. But the biblical marks of a leader have a whole lot less to do with position and a whole lot more to do with priorities. And priority number one for a biblical leader is servanthood. Jesus came to serve. And then he told us to do exactly the same thing that he did, to serve one another. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. In Matthew 23:11, Jesus said, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant." Jesus took leadership and turned it right on its head. A biblical leader leads by serving. He puts others first. He puts the needs of others above his own. Any man, any father who does that in his home, in church, in any opportunity he can, that man is honoring Jesus really well. Of course, to be a servant means that this man is also prioritizing beautiful character qualities like humility and sacrifice. What powerful lessons for a child to learn from his or her father. Another part of biblical leadership is courage. In a world when the Christian faith is under attack and standing up for Jesus is harder and harder to do, your kids need to see you face the hostility and the animosity of the world with courage, to live out our faith boldly, to defend our faith boldly. Not easy at times, is it? It can get a bit unnerving out there, can't it? It's tempting to just keep quiet. Don't make waves. Don't cause any trouble. Courage takes a different path. Courage says yes to God when God calls us to run to the battle. And once again, God is able. In our weakness, He is strong. There's a whole lot more we could say about passing on the marks of a leader, but if we get these two priorities down, servanthood and courage, we'll be well on our way. Well on our way. Heiner Basinger stepped in and took the role of a spiritual father in my life. He passed on the faith to me. He passed on biblical manhood to me. He passed on the marks of a leader to me. I hope and pray that I've done the same for my children. I hope and pray that I have in some small way done that with other young people that God has given me the privilege to touch and to influence in some way. Fathers, men, these are great privileges and great opportunities that God has given us. If ever the youth and the children of our world needed godly men to rise up and fulfill their calling, it's now. Pass along the faith to your kids. And if you don't have a kid, find one. Go adopt a neighbor kid or adopt a kid at church. Mentor them. Build into their life. Pass along the faith. You can do this because God is able. Let's pray. Father, this is a glorious task, a humbling privilege. And any man who would be your man can do this if he'll just let you work your mighty power through us. And we can touch a child, our own, somebody else's, who can pass that on to others, who can pass that on to faithful men. And generations will be changed. May we rise up, O men. In Jesus' name, amen.